After they each had had a drink, the companions relaxed and slumped gratefully against the brick walls. Mildred hadn't found a potion that worked yet, but this batch seemed to be effective in countering the aftereffects of surviving a death battle between two muti telepaths. After a while, JB passed her back the canteen.
Good batch, Millie.
Thanks. I grabbed some things back at Rock Point to use at the Grandee Redoubt. Came in useful sooner than I expected.
Ryan agreed, and the brew seemed to be working on Christy as her hair started to revive, and soon the woman was limp against him, breathing deep and regularly.
She should be okay. Just let her sleep for as long as she wants.
Jack fixed the sling on his arm.
Then we get fuck out.
That loads my blaster. The sooner we leave, the better. Don't know if I could take surviving another of their mind fights.
Dean leaned his back against the brick wall.
I wonder if the only reason we're in this good a condition is because of the hundreds of jumps we've made from the redoubts. Sort of hardened us to getting our brains scrambled.
Excuse me, what is a redoubt?
Caught by surprise by this stranger's sudden appearance, the companion said nothing to the member of the Corps standing in the doorway, holding a sagging bundle made of some type of hide. For a brief moment, Ryan debated chilling the masked girl, but where could they hide the body from people who traveled underground? But something had to be done, and quickly. The existence of the redoubts was the greatest secret of the pre-dark world, and they had no intention of sharing it with anybody. Mildred smiled at the girl.
This is a redoubt. It means a fort or a protected place, and this brick wall protects us from the wind.
Oh, well, my name is Danal, and I have some food for you. May I enter?
Come in, child. This is your town, after all.
Hesitantly, she did so.
You are wrong, old one. This building has been given to you for your stay. None of the Corps are allowed within a spear's throw.
Hey, that looks like horse hide. Are our horses aced?
Yes. Their minds could not handle what they saw. We carved them into food and brought the very best to you.
Unwrapping the flap of hide, JB found a stack of thick steaks, the flesh still dripping with fresh blood.
I thought you folks didn't eat real food.
We do not, but the Holy Ones do. They can eat anything, but prefer fresh meat.
Then she untied a small gourd hanging from her rag belt and placed it alongside the pile of meat.
I thought you might like some jinkaja to have in case you change your mind and wish to stay with us.
Trying to hide his disgust, Ryan's first impulse was to shoot the container and kick the muti girl out of the ruins. Gaza had forced the obedience of his people by controlling their water supply. Alar and the Corps did the same thing. Either way, it was just another form of slavery, and that was completely unacceptable.
Thank you. However, we are still considering the offer.
If you're going to cook the flesh, may I stay and watch? I've never eaten food before.
Mildred patted the ground nearby, and the girl sat with the effortless grace of a ballerina. The physician wanted a better look at the Corps, and this was a prime opportunity.
First we dig a hole so the wind doesn't put out the fire.
And protected within the ruins, nobody should be able to see the flames. Mildred knew Gaza was still out there somewhere. Perhaps he had given up hunting the companions, but perhaps not. And it was always wiser to plan on what an enemy can do instead of what he might do. The girl watched excitedly while Mildred got to work digging the cooking pit. Meanwhile, the rest of the companions went to check the other buildings, soon coming back with armloads of fuel, wooden tables and chairs and bookshelves to build a respectable fire. Soon the campfire was going, and Mildred roasted the meat well to prevent any parasites from being conveyed to new hosts. The smell was thick and greasy and sent waves of hunger through the companions. Their last meal had been MRE rations, and before that, cold dog stew at the Ville. Ryan turned the steaks with a whittled stick.
By the way, ever heard of a norm called the traitor?
Surprisingly, the girl nodded, while seeming as fascinated as much by the fire as what it was doing to the slabs of meat.
Yes, he is the enemy of our enemy.
Ryan took a shot in the dark. The Baron was local and utterly ruthless. That made him a prime candidate.
You mean Gaza?
Staring into the flames, Danal nodded.
Yes, he controls scorpions. We worship the Holy Ones. They dislike each other greatly and always battle to the death.
Well, not always, Ryan thought to himself. But here in the Great Salt, it was probably true. When the meat was dark brown and sizzling with fat drippings, Ryan carved up portions and served them. Using their U.S. Army mess kits, the companions filled the steel plates with juicy steak and started eating. The meat was stringy and difficult to chew, but it filled their stomachs and eased the growing pangs of hunger. That was more than enough for the moment. Dunal watched their every move as if it was brand new, and timidly accepted a roasted morsel to nibble on the edges. Through the slit in her bandages, the girl had a very human-appearing mouth, tongue, and teeth. Of course, that meant nothing these days. Muties came in every shape and size. She inspected the food, sniffing at it for a while before taking a tiny nibble, and then popping the rest into her mouth. Chewing experimentally, Dunal almost immediately started to gag, spitting the half-chewed meat onto the ground. She then grabbed the small gourd and deeply drank the jinkaja to cleanse her mouth.
Oh, hideous! It was like consuming hot waste straight from the backside of some animal. Ugh.
Yeah, it does need more salt.
JB glanced at the Great Salt Desert only yards away from the ruins. If the girl understood the joke, she didn't find it amusing. Mildred touched Dunal's shoulder.
You okay?
The bones under the coverings felt human, as did the muscle play. As far as the physician could tell, this was a perfectly ordinary 15-year-old girl. Maybe only the minds of the core were unique, amplified a millennium into the genetic future of humanity. Shying away from the steak spitting on the fire, Dunal nodded vigorously, moving her mouth as if trying to get rid of the terrible taste.
Ah, I am undamaged. Merely wiser now.
Rising, she started for the open doorway, then turned and paused, pulling a spear into view from where it had been hidden, leaning against the other side of the brick wall.
I thank you for the hospitality.
Dunal then gave a small bow. Somehow it reminded Ryan of when they had jumped to Japan and tangled with those samurai and the Shogun King. Each bow meant something different to them, and no outsider ever really understood what the gestures fully meant. Ryan then gave an even smaller bow from his sitting position.
We thank you, and your father in return.
At that, Dunal tilted her masked head quizzically.
How did you know Alar was my father?
Ryan continued eating and said nothing. As if the chief would have sent anyone else but blood kin to palaver with the outlanders visiting the tribe.
If I may, I would like to ask a question, dear child.
Doc casually patted his greasy mouth clean with a grayish linen handkerchief before continuing.
Can we really leave whenever we wish?
Of course!
Dunal sounded slightly insulted that the word of the Corps should be questioned, especially by meat-eaters.
Go anytime and anywhere.
Then she turned and pointed.
Except to the south. That is the Blessed Land, the origin of the Corps, and none may go except for the leader of the Corps. For any others, it means death.
JB shot Ryan a glance, and the Deathlands warrior subtly nodded in agreement. The land to the south was probably radioactive, he thought, glancing at the rad counter on his lapel. But the device indicated that they were in a safe zone. If so, why did the core mutate into telepaths? Was it the bug juice? Yet another reason never to touch a single drop of the stuff. Dean waved at the nearby ruins.
What about those?
This is where we mine for the metal of our weapons and the clothing that protects us from the sand. Explore all you wish. Take anything you find.
Turning on a heel, Dunal started to walk away into the wind, the loose ends of her wrappings jerking with whip-crack snaps. Then she glanced back over her shoulder at the outlanders one more time.
It doesn't matter what you do. There is no water for 100 miles. When your thirst is great enough, you will return to drink and join the Corps.
As the girl walked away, she soon vanished into the darkness and the windblown sand. Jack eased the safety back on the blaster in his holster.
Yeah, shh, like hell will.
Indeed, my taciturn friend. I do believe that it would be preferable to put lead in my head than join these antediluvian freaks.
Dean wiped his hands clean on the sand, and then on his pants.
How much water do we have?
3 days' worth, not counting the poison stuff we're saving for an emergency.
How far away is the grandee?
Looking at the stars overhead, JB hazarded a guess. He wouldn't be able to shoot their exact position until the sun rose.
I'd say about 3 days on foot, if we move fast and head straight south.
Dean cast a glance over his shoulder at the featureless blackness stretching behind them.
Across the Forbidden Zone?
Yep.
Damn. We have no choice then.
Agreed. We better cook all of the meat tonight. Gonna need it when we start running for our lives at dawn.